Amen.
It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. It is good to have my wonderful family here today. And I'm very, very blessed, man. I got two kids that love the Lord. And they married two people that love the Lord. Got a wife who loves the Lord. I count myself very, very blessed. Very blessed. And glad to be back at Bible Way. Did you know, I've told you before, I tell you again, that I love coming to Bible Way Baptist Church. I love it. See, I've got to preaching so much already, he can't take it. He's out of here. Amen. And you know what? We're close to revival. Because Jennifer was on the second row a while ago. But it got a little hot. She's back there again. Amen. She's on the back row. I want you to be praying. I've got it on my calendar circled. I even checked it a while ago to make sure I had the date right. I'm looking forward to September 13th. And I want us to go to revival all week long and God just to tear us up. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love for it just to spread, get out of its banks real good one time. But if you have your Bibles, like I said, 2 Peter chapter number 1 this morning, let's look at this thought. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He says there in those verses, in verse number 2, he uses the word through the knowledge of God. Verse number 3, he says through the knowledge of Him that hath called you. Verse 4, he says, we've got great and precious promises, and by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. This morning, how many of us have one of these? Hold it up high. Hold it up high. You know how blessed you are to have that? You're blessed. Did you know that right there is exactly what he's talking about in those verses? That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. And he uses that word through the knowledge. Through the knowledge, through the knowledge. And our knowledge all comes from the Word of God. You know, just as those young people were sitting up here a while ago, standing up here, some of them finished high school, some of them finished college. And I was not real big in school. I hated school. Hated every part of school. Hated getting up to go to school. The only thing good about school was, after school, we got to go practice football. Baseball and basketball. Hallelujah. And I know I'm tearing down graduation Sunday. And if you're here and you're a teacher, please just bear with me for a minute. So I didn't like anything about it, but I realize this now. Knowledge brings success. And knowledge brings blessings. You can't be good at something if you don't know about it. You can't be good at something if you don't know what you're doing. Your pastor is an excellent deer hunter. Because he knows what he's doing. Some of you sitting here can catch a fish because you know about it. You've learned about it. You know about the pumpkin seeds and all this different color worms and the scents they smell and how deep they go and blah, 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 blah. And let me tell you something, I couldn't catch a fish in an aquarium. You know why? Because I don't know anything about it and I don't care to know anything about it. If I want a fish, all I got to do is travel to the local seafood house and I'll tell them what I want and how I want it cooked. I refuse to waste 6 hours of my Saturday in the hot sun with sweat dripping off my brow to fill a little thing. I'll pass on that. And you say, preacher, you're missing one of the blessings of life. You know about it. You're good at it. I don't. I'm not. I don't know anything about cars. I couldn't fix it. If it breaks down and I pass you by, it's not because I don't care. It's not because I'm a good Samaritan. Because I can't help you. I can't help you. I've just now figured out, my wife has taught me, you stop at the gas station and you put it in there. That's what keeps it running. Amen. I've ran out of gas more times than anybody in this church, all of you combined. That's a fact. Let me tell you a story about me. I was the pastor, and I had to do a funeral for a veteran. He passed away. We had the service at our church. We had to go probably 30 minutes away to the veteran cemetery. Guess who's leading the procession? Me. Right behind the cop. Here we go out through there, and next thing I know, I look down, and I'm like, I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to make it. And I pull out of the funeral procession line to get gas. The leader. You know the scary thing? The pallbearers almost followed me. That's true. But I don't know anything about cars, and I couldn't fix the car. Because I don't... Knowledge brings success. It does. And so as you go on and you think about that, you realize that if you want to be successful in your walk with God, it comes from knowledge. Knowledge. And not only that, in these verses right here, it uses a word here that I want you to leave with today. It's called this. Multiplied grace. Think about that. How'd you like that? All of us love grace, do we not? Grace means blessed. I just got through bragging on my wife and my children and my son-in-law and my daughter-in-law. You know, we're living in America. We're getting to have a patriotic service. We're blessed. But how would you like to have multiplied blessings? Think about that. You know, there's a way to get multiplied blessings. The Bible says right there in verse number 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This brings multiplied blessings. And I'll show you that this morning. Could you imagine multiplied grace? I don't know about you, but the first way to get more grace, I want it. I need it. Every day when I wake up, I'm asking God for grace. I pray for grace for me and for my children. Grace! But how'd you like to have multiplied grace? Some of us are just skimming the surface of this thing. We don't realize it could get better. You can have it better. Do you know you could have more peace? You could have more joy. You could have more assurance. You could have more excitement. You could have a better reward one day when you get to heaven. It gets better, but we're just skimming the surface. But it gets better when you get in that. This brings multiplied. Now, a lot of times when you preach something like this, they're like, oh, man, he's going to put some rule on us. We need to read the Bible 5 minutes a day, blah, blah. If you quit looking at it as a burden and realize this is the source. This is the source. Man, it'll change your life. Because this has changed my life so much, and it's changed your life more than you realize. But what I'm afraid of is this. This has become culture to us. It's just culture. This morning, I'd ask you to hold up your Bibles, and how many of you have had one? This right here, when I was in Africa 2 months ago, this right here is a young man. It's an outdoor meeting. And you can see, I'm standing right here in the dirt. And I've seen that right before I preached. And it's a Bible that's just pages, just papers. And it's scattered and torn. And I said, I want to take a picture of you. And I took a picture of him. And as I preached that day, there's people sitting everywhere. And I asked them before I got started, I said, how many of you have a Bible? And there was two people in the auditorium, in the audience. Two people sitting there that had a Bible. That raised him up. And there was a third one, actually, that had a little bitty Gideon Bible. And he couldn't even read it, couldn't understand it, but he had it in his pocket because he knew it was the Word of God. And so he had that. And so to them, it's a precious possession. And like I've shared with you before, I've even had a policeman stop me and bribe me. You got a Bible? I've had a man get on his knees in a little village and say, give me a Bible. You have a Bible? Because to them, it means everything. But to us, it's become culture. It's become something we're so accustomed to that we have them stacked on top of stacks on top of stacks, and it means nothing to us. This morning, I want to show you how blessed we are. You're the same way I am. It took me about 60 seconds to accumulate these in my house. This is the first Bible I ever got when I was a child. My dad signed it. January the 20th, 1980. Give me that after I got saved. I was so irresponsible, I lost it. They give me another one. This used to be on the coffee table at my house when I grew up, that was the family Bible. You remember those? That was the family. Matter of fact, if you'll see right there, there's burnt marks on that. Remember I shared with you before my mom's testimony? She died in a trailer fire, October 21st, 1999. That Bible was in her trailer. That's my family Bible. This is a Bible that I first had when I was just a young adult. You see it's come apart. It was a Scofield Bible. This is what I used to carry around before God ever called me to preach when I sat way back in the back at Trinity. Used to read that every night laying in my bed. Then after I got called to preach, I got another one just like it. And I wore it out. And they just sitting around. This one is one my mama gave to me when I graduated high school. Her family gave it to me when I got ordained, Kat and Richard Ferguson. Then this one is one that another preacher gave me. This is real, some kind of leather skin, and he said, I want to give this to you as a gift, and he gave that to me, and all them just sitting around in my house. Then I got one this morning I'm preaching out of. And I got a storage shed not far from my house. I can go get some more. And you're the same way. You're the same way. There's enough Bibles in this auditorium to change the world. Bibles stacked on top of Bibles. But you know what we're doing? We're just skimming the surface. Because to most of us, listen to me carefully this morning, to most of us, that right there is as far as it goes. I believe it. I honor it. And I believe you should live by it. Well, that's about as far as you're going to go. And you know what you're missing? Multiplied blessings. Boy, the multiplied blessings come when you start digging in it. And boy, that stuff starts coming out, and before you know it, grace starts dripping off of it. Grace that'll change your life. Let me tell you, what's the number of grace? Five. So I'm going to show you five graces that come out of the written Word of God. And we're walking in them, wading in them this morning. And you need to realize that it all comes from that. The first one is this. The first one is eternal grace comes from the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if you're saved this morning, say amen. You know why you're saved? Because you heard the Word and you believed the Word. You trusted the Word of God. A while ago, Brother Vince, when he was praying, I believe, for Sunday school, he quoted the very scripture I want to use. Turn with me to John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20, verse 31. I want to show you this. John chapter 20, verse 31. Isn't it amazing that the whole purpose of the book of John is for this very reason? So you'll have this grace. John chapter 20, verse number 31 says this. But these are written. Hallelujah. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. I got eternal grace today. I'm saved because somebody told me what that said. And you know, since I've been saved, has this ever happened to you? Satan says, you ain't saved. No, you ain't. Or you get a feeling that you ain't saved. Or some preacher gets up and preaches that if you didn't do it this way, if you didn't do it that way, then you ain't saved. And before you know it, you're driving yourself crazy. I don't know many people that's been saved that didn't at one point doubt their salvation. But you know what the Bible tells us? That you can know that you're saved. And how do you do that? That. He keeps pointing to that, to that, to that. You know what I figured out? I can't figure out whether I'm saved or not by how I feel. And I can't figure out whether I'm saved or not about what you say. I can't figure out what I'm saved or not by remembering what I prayed. Boy, I've been down that road. You ever been down that road? I can't remember what I prayed. Can't remember what I said. You'll drive yourself crazy. There's only one way to know that you know that you know. By that. By that. That said, do you believe? Do you trust? Have you trusted Christ? Then that says, it's done. It's done. So that means that grace comes from studying that. and seeing it. And there's so many verses in that that promises that if I trust Him, it's saved. I'm trusting Him, I'm saved. I'm trusting Him, I'm saved. And boy, I've had preachers say something different than that. I've had people say something different than that. But I don't really care what they say anymore. Because it's all about what that says. That's eternal grace. Isn't that wonderful? So if you're saved today, you know why you got saved? Because somebody told you what the book said. Hallelujah. And that's the reason when we go to Mozambique, Africa, we preach the gospel to them. Because they need to know the very same thing. See all that crowd right there? Every single person, every single man, every single woman, all them little children that they're holding are going to live somewhere forever and forever and forever and forever. And they don't have a Bible, so they need somebody to teach them what the Bible says. And they, you know what? They can have eternal life. And it excites me to know that here I can be, an old country boy, from Asheville, North Carolina, lived in the United States of America, riding around in the goodness of the Lord. I mean, we live in the riches, do we not? That one of these days, I can sit at the marriage supper of the Lamb, shoulder to shoulder, with somebody who's never put a pair of shoes on. Somebody that never learned to read. Somebody that never learned to write. Somebody that never took a bath with a bar of ivory soap. Somebody that might have died at 20 years old from HIV. And here they sit. Why? Because they believe the same thing I believe. That's eternal grace. That's what it's about. There's some of you sitting here this morning. Until you get back. Listen. And yesterday I got so mad. I heard a song, you know. I forget all them songs. I ain't going to preach on music and all that stuff. But some of these songs get on my nerves. Country music. I know I'm in Tennessee and this is the empire of country music. But it drives me crazy. You know why? Because it's all about this. We believe in our beer, and we believe in our God. Come on now. Come on. You know what that is? That's just cultural to you. That's just cultural to you. That's no different than, it's just, you believe in being a country boy, but yet you believe in your Bible. Come on. Until you dig in, it don't change you. And so, we see something this morning, that grace comes when that word becomes real to me and I believe on it. Then Christ comes in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's eternal grace. If you're sitting here this morning and all that is culture to you, it don't help you one bit. But you can have multiplied grace. Let me give you the second grace that the knowledge of the Word of God brings me. And that's a real grace. Real grace. This is real. A year and a half ago, Sandra and I was on the way back from Mozambique, Africa, and we made a stop. My wife has this map, and it's a worldwide map, and it's burlap. And my son decided he would be mean to his daddy, and he bought her that for Mother's Day. You know what? And he bought her a whole box full of red pens. And everywhere we go, she sticks a red pen in. Do you know how big this world is? We've got a lot of places to go. Well, on the way back from Mozambique, Africa, we decided we'd stop in Egypt. And we did. We stopped there for about 2 nights. And it was crazy. But you know one thing that amazed me? Is my tour guide was a devout Muslim. As we was riding around, you know what she started sharing with me? We believe in the Holy Quran. And we'd go in big, massive, billion-dollar mosque, line the streets of Cairo, line the streets of Egypt. And I looked around and millions and millions and millions of people everywhere. And then, you want to hear something to make your skin crawl, make a hair on the back of your neck stand up? You hear that Muslim cleric get on there and start that call to prayer. And it starts ringing out through the streets. And I just left preaching the gospel. And the next thing I know, yeah, 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 yeah. And it's ringing out everywhere. And you can peek in the door. And there'd be men with their rugs out, bowing towards Mecca. You know what that is to them? It's a religion. Boy, it means the world to them. That religion means the world to them. Do you know what I have? I have a relationship. I'm not, listen, he can get on the intercom all day long and say, pray, Keith, pray. You know what I say? I don't listen to you, Rick Benoit. I don't listen to you. I don't care what you say. I'm not here in a ritual. And I'm not here because it's what Papa done. I'm here because I'm serving a real God. And I have a real relationship to Him. You say, where does that come from, the written word? This is all about God's relationship to mankind, and it's been that way the whole way. So, as I read this, you know what I keep seeing? This is how He dealt with John. This is how He dealt with Peter. And this is how He dealt with Paul. And this is how He dealt with Abraham. And this is how He dealt with Elijah. And I start reading that stuff, you know what it becomes? It becomes, He's real. He's a real God dealing with real people. And I see how He dealt with them, and it stirs my heart. Because I need something real. Have you realized this week, and have you realized in this country, we're tired of the fake. We're tired of the facades. Give me the real deal. I don't want something artificial. I don't want something warmed over. Give me real. If you want real, eternal relationship with God, it comes from that. It does. You start digging in it. And I don't know about you, but I start digging in it sometimes. And these guys, I figured out, they're just like us. They're just like us. Have you ever figured out Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut? He couldn't. Have you ever figured out yet that Paul had a temper and he was crazy? You figured out Abraham was a doubter? Gideon was a doubter. Gideon tested God. And you go on and on and on, and you realize, hey, these people are no different than us, but yet they knew God. They had a real relationship with Him. And as I read this, it excites me to know, look at Elijah under that juniper tree. He's done, ready to quit, discouraged, and all of a sudden God showed up in that still small voice. Isn't that wonderful? And old Peter, any of you ever, since you've been saved, you ever sinned and just made a mess of it? Old Peter just absolutely denied the Lord. Made a mess of Him. I mean, publicly humiliated himself, denied Him in His best, in His most crucial time. And yet, you know how I see our real God deal with a real sinner? Later on, He said, come, Peter. Come and dine. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know, I need that sometimes. And look at, stay in John. Look in John chapter 20. This is after Jesus had been resurrected. You don't see a real relationship? After He had been resurrected, died on the cross, and every man and woman had abandoned Him. Remember, He's on the cross, and where's the multitude that He fed all the bread to? Where's the multitude He fed the fishes to? Where's all the people that He healed that was crippled and demon-possessed and the lepers? And where's Peter? Where's all these disciples? Where's all the people who was waving the palm branches just a few days before when He came riding in Jerusalem? Where are they at? They deserted Him. And after Jesus died, rose again, and He shows up for the first time. You know what He says to Him in verse 26, John chapter 20? Peace be unto you. You know what that is? That's a real relationship. And then the next verse, verse 27, He says this. Jesus says, He told Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas had doubted Him and denied Him. You know what He said? Come, Thomas. Peace be unto you. I'm going to tell you something. Religion will push you away and push you down. But when you get in that and start reading about the real God and the real relationship, before you know, you might just fall in love with Him. You might just fall in love. These things are written that you may not just believe on Him, but that you may know Him. Amen. I know Him. I know Jesus. I know Him personally. Isn't that wonderful? You know, that becomes a cliche in church. Do you know Him personally? I know Him. I know Him. I know what He likes. I know what He hates. I know what makes His heart tick. Do you? You say, how do you know it? You ever met Him? I've met Him by faith, but I've read a lot about Him. See, He can deer hunt because He studied it. Some of you can, I believe you're the fisherman of the crowd, ain't you? Yeah, because you know about it. You studied it. Some of you can fix a car because you know about it. But you know, and that lady going to psychology, she can do that. She can fix your head. Because she studied it. There's hope for your preacher. because she studied it. But let me ask you something. Do you know Jesus? Have you studied Him? Do you study Him? Boy, the more you study Him, the more you know Him. Let me give you another piece of grace. Are you ready? We're digging in. We're going to number five. Or no, we're going to five. This is number three. You ready? Protecting grace. Look in verse number four of our text, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 4 says this. Verse number 3 rather. According as the divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. In other words, through the knowledge of Him, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. In other words, there's protecting grace there. You know why I don't do certain things? It's not because there's a rule, because the Bible showed me there's consequences. That's why. There's consequences. For you sitting here today and you think, well, sex outside of marriage or messing around with this, you know, it's a rule, but you know, everybody has their faults, everybody has their rights. There's consequences. That says there's consequences. That says be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he'll reap. There's consequences. And that Bible tells me over and over and over, you know how you've learned what to do and not do? It's not because the preacher says it. It's not because the Baptists say it. You know, the Baptists are meeting to vote on something. I don't care what they vote on. It don't matter. Because whatever they say, I could care less. Because we care about that. Not by what they say. Amen? Some of you look at me like, what are you talking about? We go by the Word of God. That's one of the trademarks of being a Baptist. Did you know that? That is our sole authority for faith and practice. It's that. So why do we need to meet to talk about it? Nothing to talk about. Amen right there. But there's consequences. And so I have protecting grace. Let me give you the fourth one right fast. We move on. There's grace in hope. Grace in hope. The Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse number 13. Says this. Now the God of hope. The God of hope. Fill you with joy and peace. How? How? In believing. You can't believe something you don't know. And you know it through the Word of God. That's how you know it. Where's hope come from? Knowledge. You see that girl right there? That same service I was at in Moatize Tet, Africa, that little girl come walking up behind the church. That is the rest of her life. That's it. When you're born a girl in third world country like Mozambique, Africa, you're signed up for that the rest of your life. Every single day, until the day she dies, she will go to that little watering hole, pump, get water in that bucket, and carry it back to her hut. Every day. She's married, that's her job. With kids, that's her job. You will never see a man carrying water. That's a woman's job. She's living in that forever and ever and ever. And when I think about those people, sometimes I look at them, I think, how do they stand it here? Me and Sandra joked around before, I ride down the road and we see a goat. Now it's like, if I was that goat, I believe I'd just jump off a cliff. This is miserable here. Hey, there's diseases everywhere. There's no rain. It's burning hot. It's 90 degrees. Flies, mosquitoes, one bite you. They're the size of a little old black gnat that you have in Tennessee. The mosquitoes over there ain't big. They're little. And they carry malaria. Kill you in about 3 to 5 days. A fever go to your brain and kill you. That's what they live with constantly. Constantly. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no job. There's no education. They're born to exist. That's it. See that little girl? We feed them when we go to those villages. We buy bags and bags of what they call maize and rice. And we buy goat and we buy chickens. And all those hundreds of people, they all get a meal. And that little girl's walking around. That what you see in her plate right there is called sema. It's like porridge. You know what? She's happy. She's got a meal today. You mean to tell you what that girl needs? Hope. Hope. You know one of the most exciting things about preaching to people that are poor, preaching the gospel to them? You're giving them hope. Hope. Hope, there's something more to it than this. You know what the most exciting thing about preaching the gospel to people in America? Some of you are without hope. But there's hope. There's hope. And hope comes from the Word of God. Listen at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. What does it say? That when we lose somebody, we sorrow not as others which have what? No hope. Here in your church recently, you've lost some very good people. I still remember Miss Jean, right? I still remember Miss Jean sitting right there. About every time I came here, she wanted to make sure she got to talk to me. I still remember when he told me she passed away, I was like, man, I can't believe that. Brother Ralph's wife, and you lose people. And I've been there, church, you listen to me. There's nothing more miserable than standing beside your loved one in that casket. There's nothing more miserable than after the visitation line goes through, and you turn and you look at that family member for the last time before they close that casket. That's miserable. That's miserable. And all hope that they'll get better is gone. All hope you'll see them on this side is gone. Hope is gone. But the Bible says there is another hope. There's another hope. The Bible says, as they closed that casket on my dad in August of 2021, I still remember my heart got ripped to shreds. But you know the reason I can take one more step today? I have a hope that I'll see him again. I have a hope. And the Bible says it's a hope that's sure and steadfast. It's not just a hope. It's a hope that's based on the written Word of God. See, when you get in that, all of a sudden that hopeless case gets filled with hope. The God of hope fills you with joy and peace in believing. That's where the hope comes from. And all of a sudden things change. Amen? Some of you are in a hopeless marriage. You're in a hopeless relationship. You're in a hopeless situation. And you can fill in the blank and go on and on and on. But the Bible says as long as God's on the throne, there is hope. There's hope. There's no such thing as a hopeless situation for a child of God. No such thing. Now, God may not fix it the way you want it fixed, but there is a hope. There is a hope. Let me give you the last thing right fast this morning. All these come from digging in. And there's so much deeper stuff in there when you get to digging. Multiplied grace comes out. Multiplied grace. Eternal grace. Real grace, protecting grace, grace and hope. Let me give you another one this morning. Rewarding grace. Amen. Rewarding grace. You know why we can keep on marching and keep on doing? Because we know there is a reward for what we're doing. We know that. You say, how do you know that? The Bible promises that. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know why I think I preached to you this morning? Because God says there is a reward. There's a reward. Let me tell you why I keep on going, Brother Rick. There's a reward. Some of you are going to teach Bible school this week, and you're going to get off work, and you're going to be miserable, and you're going to be grumpy, and you're going to show up over here with 100 kids, and they're going to be rowdy and ruckus. And listen, I know what's in that apartment up there. You won't believe it. Airheads, Kit Kats, M&M's, Snickers. I was like, half of it's gone. And I don't know what happened, but we need to investigate. But I mean, it's just, and we're going to sugar them up, and they're going to be, bah! And by the time you go home, you're going to be like, bah! This is miserable. But you know why you do it? There's a reward. There is a reward. And sometimes serving God, you don't feel like going on. You don't feel like going on. But the Bible says we will reap. In Sunday school a while ago, several people shared, my lost loved one, my lost loved one, my lost loved one. You know why you keep going? There is a reward. there's a reward. And I shared in Sunday school about that village that Brother Henry took me to for the first time in Doha, Africa. I lost my little clicker. I see it. That little village that he sent me to, 7 hours away down the dusty trail. We come to this. And you see, that's the road. You see, there is no gravel, no asphalt, nothing. It's just black dirt. Well, when it had rained, there's a little low place in all these fields, and the water just settles there. So we're going down the road, and next thing you know, we come to this. And this is one truck. There's three of them like it, blocking the road. Three of them. You know what I said? Well, we might as well turn around and go back. Henry jumped out of the truck, ran up there like he owned the place, and said, they got to move. We got to go. We got to get through there. And he convinced some people to get out of the way. And that little four-wheel drive Toyota we got, he said, Pastor Keith, you and Mama Sandra, stand out of the way. And he backed up, hammered down, gave it all he got, went flying through that mud like a madman, got through it first time, opened the doors and said, get in. He said, see, Pastor Keith, we go. You know why he's determined to go? Because there's a reward waiting. There's a reward waiting. He knew that village was up there. He knew there's hundreds of souls up there. And he said, we must go on. We must go on. There is a reward. I want to encourage some of you this morning. Go on, go on, go on. You may not have anybody pat you on the back. You may not have anybody say thank you. You may never get a reward. You may never get the preacher to call you up here and say, we're so glad to have so-and-so. And you may never get any of that stuff. But you do it anyway. Because your reward's not here, your reward's there. That's the reward. And let me show you this morning. This just got sent to me just about 2 weeks ago. This is one of my Bible school teachers. And you see that bridge in the background back there, if you can see it? It's gone. And he's in an area where he's on the motorbike, and there's no way to get from this town to that town. And this is everywhere in Mozambique, but especially in this area. So he can't get from one place to the next, but he's determined. We've got to get there. Why does he get there? Because we know there's a reward waiting on us if we can teach these people the Word of God. We'd have turned around and went home a long time ago. But look what, go ahead and show them that video. Look what they did. He's on his motorbike. Instead of him saying, we won't go, they say, well, let's just load it up in this wooden canoe. And let's take it across. And they load his motorbike up, the two of them, they load that motorbike up, and they said, now we're going to the other side. You know what that's called? I believe there's a reward. I believe it's worth it to get from here to there. You know, we listen, I'm laughing. They think it's funny. Now they're going to get there. It's all because they believe in what they're doing. They believe in the Lord. You know what we're full of? Quitters. Quitters. All over, I guarantee you. I'm not assisting here, but it's the same way in Kingsport as it is in Asheville. All over, people who used to go, who used to preach, who used to teach the Word of God, who used to be on fire for the Lord, who used to witness, who used to do this, who used to do that. You know what they lost sight of? The reward. The Bible, why do I think there's a reward? Because the Bible promises me there is a reward. And that grace comes from the Word of God. Turn with me to 2 Peter right fast. I'm almost done. I'll show you this. 2 Peter chapter number 1. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Multiplied grace. Multiplied grace comes from that. Here's my challenge to you today. I'm going to give you two things and I'm done. Number one, we need to go from this to this. I'm going to shock some of you. But it's not his job to teach you the Word. It's not your Sunday school teacher's job to teach you the Word. It's your job to study it. That's your job. Now, he can help, and he can give you some good nuggets, but even if he decides he's just going to go brain dead for a month, you can't starve to death. You got to feed on it. Feed on it. Because that's where, and then one of these days, your world's going to get rocked, and everything's going to come apart, and the Holy Spirit's going to bring a scripture up that's in there. And it's going to mean the world of difference to you. It's going to mean the world. So my first challenge is to you this morning, let's become students. Let's be students of the Word of God. And then my second challenge to you this morning is this. Wouldn't it be nice to just thank God for His grace?
Amen.
You know the reason I said eternal grace, and some of you are like, hallelujah, I know about that. Real grace, I know about that. Reward and grace, I know about that. Hope, I know about that. Because you've experienced it. But when's the last time you said, I know it was you, God, it had to be you. Because this promises that it was you. It was you that did it. And so I give you all the thanks and the credit and the glory. And I want to rejoice in the grace that I've received. Would you come to the piano? And she's coming. I want to share this with you. And I want to show you how this, when you realize what God's done, makes you thankful, makes you praise the Lord. Sandra and I just got through celebrating our 29th wedding anniversary. Could you imagine 29 years with me? She's a blessed woman. See, some of you took that the wrong way. But we decided we would do something for our 29th anniversary. And we took a trip. And so we stayed about 3 days on the coast of Nicaragua. Now, like I told you, she wants a red pen everywhere. She didn't have a red pen in Nicaragua. We're going to Nicaragua. So we did. And we stayed on the coast of Nicaragua. Well, I'm a little boy at heart. And when we pulled up there, they had massive waves. Massive waves. And they had a sign that said, warning, riptides. I ignored the warning. And I got in the water, and I was having myself a blast. And I was having a lot of fun. It's a true story. Happened just a couple weeks ago. And as I was out there in the water having a big time, Sandra was on the coast, on the shore. And as I was out there having myself a big time, I mean massive waves. And there's a big rock cliff over to the right. And I was having a big time. And next thing you know, I started getting pulled. And I started getting pulled. And it became overwhelming to me. And I always thought, I'm a strong swimmer. I can handle anything. And I began swimming. And as I'm swimming, I'm still getting pulled. And getting pulled. In a matter of a minute, I was completely exhausted. Exhausted. And in my moment of by myself, I said, oh God, help me. I knew I was in trouble. And I prayed that. And it's like the pull got stronger. The pull got stronger. And I realized, I'm dying. And I'm dead serious. I'm dying. I'm not going to make it out of here. And I looked how far it was to shore, and it was a long, long ways. Long ways. And I began to do this. Help! 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 And nobody on shore could hear a word I was saying. And I began to panic. And I said, help! And I turned around behind me, and there's a surfer comes swimming on a board straight to me. And that surfer looked at me and he said, get on. And I jumped on that board and he brought me all the way to shore. And I got to shore and I realized this, I've been saved. I got saved. And he saved my life. And I turned around before I got out of that water and I patted that man on the chest and I said, thank you. You know what I realized? He didn't have to do it, but it was grace. Grace. And boy, I couldn't get it out of my mind. That's exactly what happened to me the night I got saved. And when's the last time you got on your knees and said, thank God for grace. Grace. And one of these days when I get to heaven, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be on my knees and I'm going to say, God, thank you for saving grace, real grace, protecting grace, hope, and rewarding grace. But here I am today, June 7th, 2026. Now I already have it. I already have it. I've got all those graces right now. When's the last time you got on your knees and said, thank God for grace, 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 grace? You say, hey, no, it's God. Might have been luck. Because that right there tells me it's not luck. It's all from Him. It's all from Him. Let's bow our heads. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as she plays softly. Some of us have neglected this. We've neglected it so bad, we're missing out on the multiplied grace that comes from God's Word. So here's my thought this morning. When's the last time you got on your knees and just said, hallelujah, thank God for grace, 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 grace? That's worship, by the way. That's giving Him all the credit. Some of us, when's the last time you could say, I'm a student of God's Word? Take it from your nightstand. Take it from your car. Make it part of your study habit. Your study habit. You're skimming the surface, and it gets better. I promise you, it gets better. It gets better. The more you know, the better it gets. Then the third thing this morning is, some of you need some grace. You need it. And God had you here for a reason this morning. He had you here for a reason. Some of you need saving grace. Some of you need some hope. Some of you need to know there's a reward and you need to keep on going. But you need some grace this morning. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder who'd say, preacher, I'm sitting here this morning, and I'm going to slip up my hand and say, I need some hope. I need some hope. I've been in a situation, and it's about to take me under. I need some hope. And I realize I need the God of hope to fill me with joy and peace in believing. Would you slip up your hand right where you're at, honest before God? Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder who'd say, preacher, I need some of that eternal grace. If I'm here right now, and I'll be honest, I'm drowning, I'm dying. If I step into eternity, they started this whole service off with, I know my name is there, and I don't know that. I don't know that. I don't know that. And I need saving grace. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven is my home. Would you say, I need some of that grace? If that's you, ma'am, sir, pray for me. I need some of that saving grace. Saving grace. While she's playing Amazing Grace, why don't we just have a time of praise? Some of you need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I need something from you. I need to get back into studying the Word of God. I need to get back into this. But I need to do some business with you for a minute this morning. And some of you just need to find a place and say, I want to praise you. I want to thank you. But for your grace, where would I be and what kind of mess would I be in? I thank you for grace.